the different things that have happened in his life. And just kind of as a corollary to that, you've got to look at the life of Saul, the king of Israel. I mean, you got to do that, okay, because those two are so intertwined. But if you remember last week when we were looking at this, I told you we didn't get into chapter number 31, but we just kind of brushed over it, touched it a little bit, and the fact that in chapter number 31 of the last chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, Saul is killed. Saul is killed in battle, and now things are about to change. If you remember, we talked about how that David and his men had been trying to get into the battle with the king Achish against the Israelites, sided with the Philistine, and he sent them back and said, no, you can't go with us. And when David and his men got home, they found that there had been destruction at the place called Ziklag where they were encamped. I mean, everything was gone. The people, their women, their children, their animals, the city was burned, and it caused some great problems for David. And eventually they got that straightened out, and he got things where he was back in a place of consulting with God. And then when he did that, God heard him and answered him and gave him the victory over those folks, the Amalekites is who it was. And they got a victory. They come back to Ziklag. And as they're there, really the story today in 2 Samuel, you'll have to flip over to 2 Samuel, we'll pick up with some events that David and his men don't know but have already happened. Okay? So we said, here's David and his men. And you know, I could just imagine this. They're sitting there in the ashes and the rubble trying to make a makeshift place to stay and live and not sure what in the world to do now. But they know that Achish, the king of the Philistine, has gone into battle against Saul, and they're wondering, what's the end of that? What's happened with all that? We know that something's happened. We just don't know what it is. So we find out in chapter number 31 of 1 Samuel that Saul has died. And we find out a little bit about his death and all the things that's gone on. But I just think it's interesting. If you look at the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel starts out with a birth of a man that brings promise to Israel. It's the birth of Samuel, the prophet. That's the way that book starts out. Remember Hannah and her cry and her plea to God for a child? And she said, and I especially want a man child. I want a boy so I can give him back to the Lord and let him do something and be something for God. Man, hey, that book starts out with a great promise from the life of a lady that wants to do something for God. But can I tell you, the book ends with death. Starts out with life, but it ends in death. The death of a king that's full of pride, that's lost his way. I mean, we got a woman that's crying out and calling on God, and God hears her. And now you got a king that tried to call on God, and God doesn't listen to him. Man, that's a real heartbreaker even to think about those things, isn't it? When you look at the way that thing started and how that book ended up. But get into 2 Samuel with me, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. And you'll notice that it says here, and we're just going to read a few verses. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. Again, imagine that. There they are, 2 days. And it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said, who art thou? And I answered, I am an Amalekite. And he said to me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me. For anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them. And likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us here today and blessing us with this time. Pray now you just bless your word as we study it, as we look in it. Just give us some wisdom, give us some insight, give us some lessons and some things that we can learn now. And we'll thank you for that. And I pray you'd burden our hearts, save the lost, speak to that one that needs you. Wherever they may be tonight, I know that you're able to save them. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at these verses. And again, this is some tough stuff. I mean, again, and we've seen some hard things and some unusual things out of the life of David. I want to tell you again, hey, David's life is not all roses and you know, birds singing and little things going on that's sweet and happy. That's not his life. And can I tell you this? That's not my life and your life either. There are episodes in everybody's life we wish we could forget, but I'm telling you, they're going to be there. And this is one of those times that comes in the life of David. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. I want you to look at that and let's talk about this. Losses, lies, and lamentations. Losses, lies, and lamentations. I mean, these are some things you're going to see in this whole chapter. And we're going to try to cover the whole thing, if you will, here. And I try to do that pretty quickly. But I want you to look at these things as it's presented to us about this episode in David's life. Now, when you go back and read in the last chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, there's a story that says this. And I'm just going to read over this real quickly. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 3. This is the battles going on between Saul and the Philistines. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword, and he died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day. Now that's the story that we're given in 1 Samuel chapter 31. That's the account that we're given. But it looks like here we've got a little different account. So let's look at it and see what we can gain from this. But first of all, I want you to notice what happens in this story. First of all, I want you to notice that there are some words of confusion and shock. There are some words of confusion and shock that come into the ears of David. I mean, David, well, first of all, you notice that David is here. He's looking at the situation with anxiety. David is anxious to know what has happened in the battle. You see, when this young man comes to him, it talks about they're there for a couple of days back in Ziklag. And it says that in verse number 1, came pass after the death of Saul. Now, they don't know that yet. When David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. They were there for 2 days. And then it said, and it came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. Now, this guy seemed to know something about who David was and maybe somewhat of the whole situation. He knew something about it. So he comes in before David's presence, and it says, David said unto him, from whence camest thou? David's wondering where, and he said, I came out of the camp of Israel. Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. David is looking to this man in a real anxious way. Isn't that the way most of us do? When something's going on and you see somebody that's been there or that should have some information about it, aren't we a little bit anxious to hear what's going on? And here's David in that anxiety, David in that state, and he's wanting to hear the words, the Lord has delivered the army of Israel, and there's a great victory against the Philistines, and maybe Achish is dead and all his men. I mean, that's what he's really wanting to hear, I think. But he doesn't hear that. The look of anxiety turns into a time when there's some lies mixed in this announcement. Now, the man gives a story, and he said, how was the battle going? How are things going? And he answered and said that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David looks at him and says, how do you know that Saul and Jonathan are dead? And he says, he begins a story that doesn't match with the story that we read in the previous chapter. As I happened by chance, verse number 6, he says, I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa. He said, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw them, and he called unto me. And I answered, here I am. Yeah, what do you want? And he said, who art thou? And I answered, I'm an Amalekite. And he said, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him because he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Now, I mean, this sounds like a good story, and I'm sure David is not sure of the whole story. But here comes this guy, and he's got the crown of the king and the bracelet that was upon his arm, and he brings it to David. And I think if you just kind of extrapolate with me just a little bit on this, you would think this guy's thinking, I know him and David are at odds. Saul and David are at odds. I know if I can tell him something and whatever I want to tell him, nobody knows. Nobody really knows the story that's still alive. He said, I'll tell, and I'll get something out of this. Right? I mean, isn't that what you would think that this boy is thinking? I mean, hey, he's looking for a payday. He said, David, I've taken care of your enemy. Now, he doesn't know what in the world he's talking about, but he's telling some lies in this whole situation. He's telling David, boy, David, I was there, and I saw the king, and he was about dead anyway. He's leaning on his spear, and he wanted me to kill him, and he's going to die anyway. I just went ahead and killed him, and I took the crown, I took the bracelet, and I brought them to you, and you'll probably want to reward me in some way for the action that I took. I mean, that's what he's thinking. Man, this is probably a good thing that I've done. He said, I brought them hither unto my Lord. Woo, I've done this. Can I tell you? It's all a lie. I mean, according to what we read in the previous chapter, it doesn't match up. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. Because nobody, I mean, the fact Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. His soldiers are dead. All of that is the fact. But we don't know the details of the story. Or David didn't know the detail until this man comes and tells his details. Well, I want you to get out of this. Let me tell you, you might as well tell the truth. Okay? Your life should be a life filled with telling the truth. Lies are going to get you in trouble. I mean, we all know. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen? We all know that one, don't we? I mean, I'm telling you. I thought about naming this, if I'm lying, I'm dying. And that's the absolute truth, isn't it? I mean, this guy is telling a lie. And he thinks it's going to advantage him in some way. Oh, look what I've done, David. I've taken care of your enemy. I've got rid of it. He don't know David very well, does he? He doesn't understand. I want you to notice this. I want you to see the loss of this man, the loss that happens to him because of his actions. I want you to notice what it said. It said in verse number 11, then David took hold on his clothes and he rent them. David tore his garment because of the anguish and the hurt in his soul. And it says, and likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and they wept and they fasted until the evening time. For Saul and for Jonathan, for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel. Because they were fallen by the sword. I mean, man, this was an emotional hurt in the heart of David. And this guy telling this story really didn't understand what he was doing. He thought it was going to be, they'll be shouting, hollering, and hooping, and smiling, and dancing. It turned the other way, didn't it? And then I want you to notice what happened to him. It said, and David asked him, said unto the young man, whence are they? Where do you come from? What are you? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. He don't know. I don't know if he knows or not. But David's been mopping up them guys earlier, right? He's been destroying all of them that he can. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? David said, how come you did not know? And I'll guarantee you, this guy didn't know. I mean, it wasn't, hey, you know what? It wasn't his religion. Okay? It wasn't his thinking. It wasn't, well, he may be a king, but, I mean, he's just a king, just a man, just a guy. And David said, he's the anointed of the Lord. And David's been afraid to touch him. And David said, how dare you even think about touching him? How dare you do what you've done? And it said, and David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And what happened? And he smote him that he died. Wow. I want you to see the loss that this fellow... Lying ain't a good thing. I mean, and trying to be or portray something that's not... Ooh, that's a dangerous thing, folks. But can I tell you, people do it every day. But I want you to know, sometimes there are consequences that follow some of those actions. And David said to him, verse number 16, thy blood be upon thy head. For thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. I mean, just keep that in mind. David said, this is what lying will get you. This is what doing what you've done or what you think is right or whatever you... Hey, this is what... Can I tell you, folks? Hey, there's still some things in this world that are sacred, and you better watch what you say, who you say it to, who you say it about. And, buddy, I'm telling you, God demands some action sometimes. And this fellow found a loss because of his actions that he took. But second of all, I want you to notice this. If you'll look at the remaining part of this chapter, and it goes from verses 17 through verse 27. It says in verse number 17, and David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. He He came to a place where, you think about a lot of other songs in your mind that can go about. And do you know that sometimes ballads, and I'm talking about just secular music, I'm not talking about Christian music, but sometimes secular music, people write a song in memory of somebody, in honor of somebody, in remembrance of somebody, in a special place and a special way for somebody. I don't know, and I'm just going to throw this out here, and y'all going to tell me I'm a hillbilly or a hick or a country or a person or whatever. But y'all remember when Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge? Amen. I mean, that's the kind of song that is, right? It's one of those songs that recounts sort of a bad event in somebody's life, and they're kind of hurt over the situation. Well, that, as I say, that's not the only example. That's just the first one that popped in my little bitty mind. So there's probably a lot more than that. But and the name of that song is called Ode to Billy Joe, right? So if you look in your Bible, though, you'll notice the same thing is true. If you'll turn over, and let's just flip over just real quickly for a minute, in the book of Psalms, I want you to look at Psalm number 51. And I want you to notice here's a song. And this is a song. But David says this: Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He says, Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David said, I want you to know, God, I'm sorry for how I acted. And if you go read that whole thing, I mean, it is a song of sorrow and repentance and woe and brokenness because of his sin. Can I tell you this, friend? Hey, we'd have a whole lot more in the churches today. We'd have a whole lot more power with God if folks would simply do that very thing. Repent of what's wrong in their lives. Amen? I mean, we would. But songs are sung, and songs have this power to help us, to bring some comfort, to bring some words of solace and a salve of soothing and helping in our souls. And that's what David's about to do. You see this? It says, this is David lamenting with a lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. David says some things here that are in the very depth of his soul. Down in the very bottom of his heart, there's some things that he wants to say. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, well, he ought to say, I'm glad he's dead and gone, and hallelujah, God took it. No, that's not it. I want you to look at a little bit of this song with me and notice some of these things that David is saying in this song. First of all, I want you to notice this. It is a song of grief. David is grieving. I mean, if you look at verse number 18, well, verse 17, it says he lamented with this lamentation. That word lamentation means a sad, doleful, heartbreaking, grieving kind of song, a lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan. Matter of fact, there's a whole a book in your Bible called Lamentations. It's the Lamentations of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is broken over the state of Israel and their sin and the problems that it's causing and how that it's going to send the people into a place where they're away from God, and God's going to pull his mercy away from them. God's going to let them go into captivity. God's going to bring a judgment and a punishment on them. And he writes that down as the book of Lamentations. I mean, he's broken. He's grieving over what's happening in the nation of Israel. And the Bible said that David sat down and made this song, this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan. Look in verse number 18 there real quickly. It said, also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. Well, what that stands for is this. He wanted others to know this song too. He wanted kids to learn this song. He wanted somebody to know, hey, here's the way that you properly grieve and lament some situations. And he said, and I think our kids need to know. We try to shield our kids. We try to protect our kids. But, you know, sometimes they need to know what some of these things are too. They need to. But listen to what he says. It's a song of grief. Look in verse number 20. He says, tell it not in Gath. Gath is the political headquarters of the Philistines. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Ascalon is the religious center of the Philistines. He said, don't let it, don't tell them, don't go over there, don't listen to them, because if you go there, all they're going to do is they're going to be hooping it up, they're going to be gloating, they're going to be proud, they're going to be boasting that they've killed Saul, the king of Israel. He said, don't even go there, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. He said, this is a song of grief. It's not a song of rejoicing. It's not a song of triumph necessarily. Look in verse 21. He said, ye mountains of Gilboa, that's where Saul died, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. I mean, he said, man, I'm grief-stricken over these things that have happened. Look in verse 24 and see what he said. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul. Ye daughters of Israel, weep. I want you to weep over Saul. Look in verse 26. He said, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Oh, listen, this is a song of David's grief. You ever sat down and sang one of them? I mean, it might have not went like that, but, you know, pardon my secularity, but Neil Diamond said, what? A song sung blue. Everybody knows one. Amen? A song sung blue. Every garden grows one. I mean, it's going to happen to every one of us. There's going to be times of grief. You're going to run into some things, and it's going to hurt. And it's going to be hard. And it's going to affect your heart. It's going to affect you in some ways you can't even dream of or think of sometimes. But it can come. And David said, look, don't let this devil bunch of crowd. I want to tell you something. This world would like nothing better than to rejoice and say, the church is going down. The church, you and I ought to grieve over the hurt and the fight and the battle against God's church. Amen? We ought to stand up for it. We ought to praise God and just have a hallelujah fit sometime. I'm telling you, this is a song of grief. But second of all, I want you to notice David makes this a song of greatness. He makes it a song of greatness. I mean, look in verse number 19. He says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? You see that? He says in verse number 23, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles and they were stronger than lions. Amen. He said, look at the greatness. Look in verse 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. In verse number 27, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? David said, those men that were mighty and brave and soldiers, and now they have fallen. And he said, but I want you to know, you look at their greatness. You look at how great these men were. I want you to understand there's some great. If you go back and look at the times that David faced some of these things, the next thing I think you'll see is when one of the men that he's trying to get into his army and to help him after he has a little battle with some other things we'll come upon here in a little bit. Abner, who was a general for Saul. Abner is about to come and be on David's side, and then Joab secretly kills him. I mean, we'll get to that story and we'll talk about it. But as that happens, after that happens, David is there at the funeral of Abner, and he says, he talks about Abner, and he said how that Abner was a great man. And he speaks it to all of Israel. He said, do you not know that a prince is fallen among us? I mean, he talks about the greatness of these people. Now, sometimes they might have been his enemy. Sometimes they might have hated his guts. Sometimes, even like Saul, they might have tried to kill him. But David recognizes their greatness. Now, I know it's, you ever been around when we've had some of the funerals for former presidents? And I'll guarantee you can get a Republican or a Democrat to get up there, and they'll have something nice to say, whether the guy was on their particular side or not, whatever it was. They'll say, well, you know, here we might have had our differences, but let me tell you about some things he accomplished. And here's David. He doesn't even mention the bad stuff. He's telling you all the good things, right? Talking about the greatness. But not only that, don't you see this? I think you can say that it's a song of gratitude. A song of gratitude. And particularly look at verses 25 and 26. He said, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. I mean, David said, I want you to know, man, whatever may have happened and however this thing may have fallen out, me and Jonathan were the best and the dearest of friends. He said, and I loved him better than I had any love for any woman that I've ever been. He said, I want you to know, he was my friend and I loved him, and we had this bond and this joining, and it was from God. Amen? I mean, Jonathan was a great friend. Throughout all the stuff that went on with David and Saul and all the fighting and all of the fussing, and I mean, he said, this is a song that I want to just say I'm grateful. Can you say that sometimes? Just sing a song. And sometimes it may be a song of grief. But I'll tell you, don't forget the greatness that some of those folks put in your life. Don't forget the gratitude that you have for those that have done some things for you. Amen? How they befriended you, how they helped you, how they blessed you, how they whatever they did. Make it that kind of a song. Now, I want you to look at one last thing with me. Now, I want you to look at the words out of all this. And it's some words from David that are some words of conviction and standing. First of all, one of the words that comes to my mind about this is the word respect. Do you notice there are three times David says in verses number 19, he said, how are the mighty fallen? And then in verse 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? And in verse 27, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? I mean, do you see it? David has, in his song, he shows some respect. Respect. I want to tell you something. We've lost a lot of respect today. Flip on your TV. Amen? I mean, right now for the next week, you're going to see a lot of disrespect, name calling and finger pointing and all that mess. And I'll be glad when it's over, amen. Really, won't you? I mean, I'm tired of hearing about everybody's dirty laundry and what they said this time, that time, and who they think they, I mean, all that mess. I'm tired of it. Hey, let's have some respect. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a country where we can disagree, but we can still have respect with each other? Amen. I mean, I think that's what we ought to do. Now, I mean, I got it. I get upset over stuff, and I don't like the way things go, but I can still respect a fellow. Can I tell you, I've got folks in my family that won't vote the same way I vote. And you know what? I still love them. We're still related, and I ain't getting rid of them. Isn't that amazing? But you know, there's some people, it's just like, oh, I ain't talking to you no more. Well, bless your hearts, all I can say. You need to get over that. Have some respect for each other. We can disagree. We can disagree. We can say, well, I'm voting for this and you're voting for that. Okay. I mean, I don't agree with you. There are people in my family, like in your family, that have, they're okay with all this alternate lifestyle. They're okay with all this living together. They're okay with all of this mess of the world. And I don't agree with that. But you know what? I ain't throwed them away. Still love them. Still part of my family. Still people that I just have to have a little respect. Amen. Shake your head. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we ought to have some respect for each other in some of these areas. So, David, listen, if anybody had any bone to pick with anybody, David could have said, Saul was a dog and a hateful felon, tried to kill. He could have done every bit of that and been right in it. But he had some respect. And do you notice this? He never once mentions any fault or failure in the life of Saul or Jonathan, and I don't think he would in Jonathan anyway, but in the life of Saul, he don't mention his faults. He don't mention his failure. He don't mention his bad stuff. There's nothing there to mention for this particular time. I mean, there's no bitterness. There's no harsh words. He just shows some respect. I believe, man, you can do that sometimes too. Amen? I want to say this. There's some words in here, obviously, that are some words of reflection. Notice what it says there in verse number 19. He says, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. The beauty of Israel. I mean, and that word beauty, I don't know, you may have a footnote or something in your Bible. It could also be the glory. The glory of Israel. When David sits back and thinks about this whole incident, he realizes the glory of the people of God. He's thinking about them. He's reflecting on that. And sure, Saul had some bad thing. But David said, look, let me reflect on the good stuff that I can about Saul. I mean, he's reflecting on some of these great things. And look here in verse number 24 what he says. He said, ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, listen, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. He said, while he was the king, didn't you prosper and didn't he bless you? Didn't he help you? I'm saying whole nation. I mean, man, he was there and there was some benefit. You got some benefit out of what he did in your life. He said he might have been wrong and done wrong and had some negative. He said, but let me tell you, he did some good stuff also. Amen. There's some good things that David could say about King Saul. It wasn't all bad. It wasn't all bad. He took a little time and did some reflection. I want you to notice this. Last of all, it was just a time for him, especially of remembrance of his dear friend who was Jonathan. Verse 26, I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. I guarantee you, you saw that when this boy came and told them, Saul's dead, Jonathan's dead, the army, everybody's dead. And it says that David took hold of his clothes and he rent them. And likewise, all the men that were with him. And they mourned and they wept and they fasted until the evening came. I mean, buddy, he was hurt. And I'm sure these other men with him, and they probably followed suit because they saw how hurt David was. Can I tell you, when people sometimes see how hurt you are, it affects them. It will affect them. They'll say, man, if he's hurt, I'm just going to hurt with him. Amen? I told you the story. I think I can, maybe. A little boy lived next door to an old couple. And he would go over and he befriended the old couple, and the old couple loved him. And they would buy little things for him and, you know, play with him and do whatever. And one day, the older lady passed away in the family. And the little boy, you know, he understood. He got the idea of it. And he went over next door. That old man was sitting out on the porch rocking. And his mama saw him. He came home. And his mama said, "Son, what did you say to Mr. Jones?" He said, "I didn't say nothing." She said, "Well, what did you do over there?" She said, "I just climbed up in his lap and I helped him cry." I just helped him cry. Honey, that's the way we ought to be sometimes. Y'all just climb up next to them and weep with them when they're weeping. Isn't that what Jesus told us? He went and he saw when Lazarus had died. What does it say? Jesus wept. Now, he's going to raise him in just a very short period of time. Buddy, his heart was broken. He knew what it was now for folks to be broken and to lose a loved one. And maybe he realized that's what's going to happen to him. And I mean, he knew every bit of that. But I'm telling you, hey, it's good sometimes for us to just have some remembrance. And David said, "Jonathan, I'm going to miss you, buddy. I'm distressed." His heart was hurt for my brother Jonathan. "Very pleasant hast thou been unto me." I mean, it's been a pleasure knowing you and being your friend, you being my friend. He said, "And thy love to me was wonderful." And again, don't get some perverted junk in that. He's just saying, this was the best friend I ever had. He said, "And your love for me was greater even that of any of the women that I've ever been married to and known." And he said, "Hey, this was a special thing in my life." And it was a words of remembrance. Man, that's a pretty good little song, ain't it? David sang a song of lamentation. And he wanted others to know that song too. He said, "I want y'all to teach this. Y'all teach these little kids how to shoot a bow and arrow and get ready for war. I want you to tell them this song too. I want them to know. Hey, war, you know how maybe little boys and men and all that, we want to play cowboys and Indians and we want to be soldiers. I'm going to tell you, it ain't always as pretty and tough as we think it is. There's some horrors and some hurts within those things too. I just want you to know tonight, friends, that, hey, God wants us to understand that there's some things here that it's okay to lament and cry and hurt over some things like this. I believe that's a great thing for David to be not yet the king, but headed that way. And he led his countrymen and said, "Let's just go have a time of weeping and let our hurts come, but let's reflect, let's remember. Let's be glad for what God, who God's put in our lives and all those things." Amen? Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song tonight.